Still ocean waters pass by below, then the view angles up to show the sunset behind a rock on the horizon. The words Mar Vista Entertainment appear. The sun rises and sets around the words night and day pictures. Mar Vista Entertainment presents a night and day pictures production. A long flowing nightgown brushes against wet pavement. A woman's bare legs and feet are visible underneath as she walks. She moves slowly down a dark and empty street. The gown is a white glow in the darkness. A car approaches behind her. She does not react.
Miss? Excuse me? Wait, you alright?
She keeps walking forward.
Can you hear me, miss?
The policeman shines a flashlight in her face. She blinks and her eyes begin to focus.
Do you know where you are?
Or are you hurt in any way?
Is someone chasing you? Do you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm all right. My name is Sarah Foster. I'm a student at the college. I can give you my address.
The police glance at each other.
Would you like us to give you a ride back?
She nods.
Okay.
The lights of the street are blurred in the windshield of the police car. Sarah sits quietly in the back seat. The dim stairwell of a building shaped like a motel. Sarah walks past a rounded indoor pool and up the stairs.
Thank God, are you okay? They called. I said that you were still in bed.
I unlocked the door again.
I know. It's crazy. You're okay, though?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You scared me. Sorry, I didn't think that would happen again.
The two go into a room and shut the door behind them. Title: Sleepwalker. Feet in black stiletto boots pace in the rain. Sarah is dressed professionally, with a tan umbrella to match her coat. In a wood-paneled room with framed pictures on the walls, someone hunches at a window to look down at the rainy street.
Hello? You making coffee?
I took the bus. My feet are still all wet.
Sarah sits down in the hall to remove her boots.
Oh, you said you were going to change this.
She looks at a picture frame on a stand nearby.
Doesn't even look like me.
She turns it face down.
I was thinking, instead of going out for lunch, we could get something delivered. We could stay in, stay warm. Jonathan?
She enters the room where the man is still standing at the window. He hasn't moved.
Just stop.
What's the matter?
I don't want you to see.
See what? Jonathan, what are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Jonathan.
I can't help.
Jonathan, please.
No.
Jonathan!
Jonathan shoots himself in the head. Sarah rides on a bus, remembering. The bus is nearly empty. She sits alone near the front. Wearing a thin pale blue dress with a yellow belt and black heels, she leaves the bus and crosses a university campus. She enters a white marble building. She sits in a chair and waits, fiddling with her hands.
Dr. Cooper, your next patient is here.
Sarah Foster. I thought I recognized the name. You were in a class of mine when you were an undergraduate. Do you remember?
Of course I do. I remember.
I read the form you filled out, and the university still had your file. And of course I've seen what happened in the papers. I'm very sorry for you.
Thank you.
But the form gave a different reason for you coming in.
Yes. I'll always be coping with his suicide. But I saw a doctor for a year, and I decided to come back to school and finish my dissertation to try to get back to where I was before. But since I've been back, I've been walking in my sleep. At first, it was just around my apartment, but a few days ago, the police found me, and I had walked almost 3 miles.
Wasn't your door locked?
And locked it in my sleep.
Did you have a sleepwalk before coming back to school?
Sarah shakes her head.
How is your sleep apart from that?
Not good. I have trouble falling asleep, and I have nightmares.
Can you tell me about them?
Usually there's a man. I can't see him, but I know he wants to hurt me, and I can't get away. Sometimes I can't move or even get any air when I breathe.
Do the same dreams repeat?
Well, it's always the same man. I don't know who he is or who he would be.
How are your moods?
Sad. Lonely. But I'm working at it, at moving forward.
Grief can be overwhelming, and it certainly is a factor in what you're going through right now. But your sleep disorder could be purely a medical issue.
Dr. Cooper reaches for a pad of paper.
I'd like to schedule a checkup for you, and also introduce you to some people that I think can help you here at the university. Is that all right?
Of course.
You're going to keep getting better, Sarah. I believe that. And there's certainly going to be some tough patches, but you're facing your new life very bravely. I want you to come and see me at any time for any reason at all. Okay?
Thank you.
And maybe find a way to put a second lock on that door.
Sarah chuckles and nods.
Okay.
She leaves the building with Dr. Cooper's office. A sunlit graveyard.
I'm going to the Sleep Research Center tonight.
To sleep?
That'll be weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, do you remember Neil Owens?
I finally sent him a text message.
I was gonna have you read it before, but then I just didn't.
Oh.
I figured if you want something, you gotta put the idea out there.
So I did. I thought he was your professor.
Technically, he's my professor, but I mean, I just figure if everything works out, I could just drop the class, right? I thought about sending him a picture.
I'll do that. Leave some link for his imagination.
You haven't gone out with anybody since I've met you.
Someone's asked.
You know, I read somewhere that every day you should identify 3 potential soulmates. And then you visualize all these details about them, and then you bring them to life in your mind.
They reach the road, and a funeral procession drives past.
Okay, see him? If he asked me out.
A funeral? It's a little dark, but which one?
That one, getting out of the car.
The man is tall and bearded.
He looks a little married.
Well, I'm imagining him single.
That's good. That's right. First step is to think about it.
Sarah's friend checks her phone while Sarah watches the man's back. It's night. Fluorescent lights glow in the windows of a building. Sarah sits on a bench, feet together, hands in her lap.
So, your blood work came back fine, but that doesn't rule out everything. The dream where you reported a sense of suffocation. That could be a sign of sleep apnea. It's a disorder where you stop breathing while you're asleep.
Is that dangerous?
We'll know by tomorrow morning if you have it, and then we can treat it. What we'd like to do is have you stay here for a few nights so we can build a profile of your sleep life. This machine here monitors all your vitals, your respiration, heart rate, EEG readout of everything that's going on inside your head.
My dreams?
Not exactly, just your neural activity. But we will know when you're dreaming and exactly what's going on inside your head before you dream.
And what if I walk in my sleep?
There's a breakaway cable right there. We'll also have someone watching you throughout the night. That way you don't go anywhere.
So I can't leave?
Of course you can.
But only when you're awake.
Sir, this is Dr. White. He's the director of the center.
Sarah Foster.
It's the man from the funeral.
Could you come see me when you're finished here?
The doctor nods, and Dr. White leaves.
I'll leave you to it. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
The other doctor leaves her alone in the room. She glances around nervously. A broad sidewalk lined with trees and lit by street lamps. Inside the center, Sarah has changed into a nightgown.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Dr. White pauses in the hall. He enters Sarah's room.
Did you need Dr. Kozlov?
I tried. I don't think it's working.
He takes the pager button from her.
Well, it's faulty. What did you need?
I just don't think I'm going to be able to fall asleep in here.
Well, that's normal.
I'm not sleeping most nights anyways.
He unwinds the pager cord.
I know that I know you.
I don't think so.
Oh, at the funeral. I saw you at the funeral.
Were you there?
Yeah. Well, I was nearby walking through the cemetery. Who was it?
It was a young woman. She was a student here at the school.
Sorry. I saw you in the car with your wife.
Oh, that's another doctor here. I'm not married.
Oh, me neither. I mean, I was, but...
To the writer.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been interesting.
You know, loving him didn't mean loving his writing. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I knew his books were good. Great, even. It's what I study. But sometimes I would read his stuff and just not connect with it. Not like I did with him. I'll never know I said that.
I'll have Dr. Kozlov bring another one of these.
Okay.
Sleep well.
Thank you.
He takes the faulty pager and leaves. She tries to get comfortable in the bed. A computer monitors her brain activity. Sarah lies on her back with electrodes attached to her head. Her eyelids flutter. She appears to have fallen asleep. Time passes as Sarah continues to sleep. It's morning. Sarah opens her eyes.
Good morning, Sarah. Hopefully you weren't too alarmed. We moved you last night. There's better monitoring equipment in here. It's nicer.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I slept the whole night. I haven't done that in months. Did I do anything strange?
No, you slept quietly.
I don't think I had any dreams.
That's pretty normal for the first night.
Can't believe you moved me and I didn't wake up.
Good news. Dr. White here is going to stay personally involved in your case, which is a big deal.
Oh, okay. Great.
Sarah, what we learned last night is that you have fairly unusual neural patterns. It's not anything to be concerned about from a health perspective.
But your thetas are very unique. I mean, what we see here normally is the same thing over and over, but your brain waves
are... Could that be causing my sleepwalking?
It's possible, but not likely. We'll find out. Right now, we're just building a basic profile.
What we'd like to do is have you stay here at least 3 nights this week, if possible.
I'll stay here every night if I sleep this well.
Good.
Dr. White leaves and Sarah watches him go, smiling faintly to herself. Daytime at the apartment building. A plane flies overhead. Sarah puts on a pale pink dress and black belt.
Hey, how was it? It was good. I slept. Forgot how nice that is. I go back tomorrow. Hey, do you remember that man we saw at the funeral? The one in the car? I met him. He's the director at the center.
Look at you, homewrecker.
wasn't his wife driving, it was another doctor.
Oh, well, that's boring.
He's nice. Is that your professor?
No. I haven't heard from him. I'm starting to think I'm done with that whole thing. Should have sent him those pictures.
See ya.
Sarah adjusts her outfit in the mirror.
The prince's brain was addicted to the dopamine release that came from thinking about her. Love's inevitable drop in serotonin level meant he was gonna grow more and more obsessed. Because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, chemically, love is just a type of a bipolar disorder. It can lead to heroism, homicide, and even happily ever after, but for our prince, the script was over before that first kiss.
The professor points at Sarah.
You don't buy it, do you?
That there's no free will?
Mm-hmm.
I see the science, but there's more to love than chasing a dopamine high.
What he did was beautiful.
Okay, but look at his mental states in the story. Sleeplessness, elation, loss of appetite, devotion, obsession, disconnection, grief, rage. Am I the only one who thinks the origin for some of the most exhilarating, romantic love stories might be chemical imbalance? Okay, by a show of hands, who sides with Miss Wells?
What?
Are we on the same side?
Foster.
Beg your pardon?
You said Wells, it's Foster?
I'm afraid I don't follow.
My name is Sarah Foster, not Wells.
Sarah Foster. If that's how you'd like it to be, sure.
Sarah looks over at a classmate.
Is he making some kind of a joke?
Your name is Sarah Wells.
Sarah looks around in confusion. After class, she walks through a courtyard.
Hey, what's my last name?
Her friend is confused.
Wells, the last time I checked. Do you think I didn't know your last name?
Sarah walks on, staring at her driver's license, which says Wells. Back at home, she searches through her drawers. She opens a cabinet and pulls out a pink box tied with string, which she cuts open. Inside is a journal with Sarah Wells' handwritten in the front. She flips forward past a fragment of a photo showing a small girl labeled Sarah Wells. Later, Sarah enters a library. She walks down a narrow row of shelves and pauses at one. She removes a book and opens it, staring at the front page. It says, "For my beautiful and devoted wife and partner, Sarah Wells." Sarah sits in a waiting room. A woman holding a file folder comes down the hall.
Dr. Cooper left at 5. I sent a message to her phone, but she'll definitely be back in the morning.
This is kind of important. Did you give her my number?
I did. Is there anything else I can do for you, Miss Wells?
Sarah shakes her head and leaves quickly. Sarah waits on the bench at the sleep clinic. Dr. Koslov approaches.
Sarah. He's not gonna be in until later. He and I are both your doctors, if you want to tell me what's happening.
Oh, I'd rather wait for Dr. White.
Dr. Koslov hesitates to leave.
Let me ask you something. One of our staff found this in the hallway outside the room we moved you to last night. When a patient has a dream that we deem to be significant, we fill out one of these forms. This one has your name on it.
I didn't have any dreams.
That's what I thought too, but you described being chased by a woman, someone who hurt you.
That's not my dream.
You sure?
Yeah. And it's not my handwriting. Yeah, look.
She writes her name on his clipboard. When she takes her hand away, the handwriting matches.
Wait.
Nighttime. Sarah lies in her bed at the sleep center. Her hands are folded across her stomach. Her eyelids flutter. Her eyes move rapidly beneath closed lids. It grows light. Sarah shifts in the bed. She slowly comes awake. Dr. White stands up from a chair.
Good morning. I came to see you last night, but you're already sleeping. Dr. Kozlov said he wanted to ask you something.
Nothing. I feel better. I was just anxious.
About?
Nothing. That was nothing.
Okay. No dreams last night?
Not that I remember.
That's what the machine told us, too. And you're coming to see us again the day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves, and Sarah's smile fades as she stares into space. Later, at the library, Sarah walks slowly past the stacks. She takes several books from the psychology section.
Are there any types of amnesia where a person might forget only one single thing?
Are you working on a class study?
If a patient forgot their name but nothing else, what if everything else was normal?
Partial retrograde amnesia.
Right. Is that curable?
It can be permanent, but in a vast majority of cases, it goes away on its own. It can be induced by a traumatic event. Brain injury, or even disrupted sleep.
It usually just takes care of itself, though?
Almost always. The clinical protocol is to get the patient back into the routine of their old lives.
Really? That's it?
That's everything that's happening. If the memory lapses ever become full-blown hallucinations, then you're into psychosis territory. I'd be happy to explain over a cup of coffee.
No, thanks.
She walks past him and away. He turns to look after her. Back in the psychology section, she checks a slip of paper and moves down the row. It is very dim between the stacks. A sound makes her look over her shoulder, but nothing is there. This time she stops and turns. The library guy steps out of a row in front of her. She looks uncomfortable and turns down a different row. She returns to her apartment.
Hey, how'd it go?
Well, hi. Is Dawn in her room?
Who?
Dawn. Are you a friend of hers?
Who's Dawn? Did it happen again?
Did what happen again?
The sleepwalking thing.
You know about my sleepwalking?
Yeah.
The woman who is not Sarah's roommate packs a backpack.
You live here?
Yep.
Since the beginning of the school year?
Are you mad at me or something? Because I have lab in like 10 minutes and I just...
No, not at all. It's just... Can you tell me your name?
Why are you being so weird?
Sorry, it's just... What is it?
Nicole Wyatt? Do I need to worry about you?
No, I had a weird night and...
Nicole frowns at her for a moment and then turns to leave. In her room, Sarah sits at the vanity table and looks in the mirror. Her phone buzzes on the bed.
Hello?
Sarah.
Who is this?
Sarah. You know who I am.
What?
You're all I can think about, Sarah.
Who is this?
I'm the one out here in the dark.
Sarah hangs up and backs away from the phone. It immediately starts buzzing again. Hesitantly, she reaches for it.
No one has ever touched you like I do. Do you like it when I watch you? When I'm close?
She throws the phone down again. Dr. Cooper's office.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I'm Elaine Cooper. I can see you in just a moment.
Dr. Cooper.
Yes.
It's Sarah.
I'm sorry, I just got here, but I'll be able to see you in just a moment.
We spoke to each other 3 days ago.
On a phone?
No, I'm Sarah. Sarah.
I couldn't find a file for her.
I came in to see you. You remembered me from when I was a student here. We talked about my husband.
3 days ago?
Sarah Foster. Sarah Wells?
I checked both names.
My husband was Jonathan Gray, the author.
Is that so?
You don't remember.
No. I'm sorry it happens. I'm not as young as I used to be. Were you at the hospital at all?
What?
At the Weiss Clinic.
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, I want to talk to you. But first, we're going to have to locate your records. Are there any other names you could be listed under?
I'm going to come back, okay?
I'd rather you stay.
I'm going to come back. Don't worry, I think I made a mistake.
Are you sure? Can I call someone to come and pick you up?
Sarah stares blankly out a bus window. Sarah walks down a sidewalk at night. She comes to a chain-link fence and peers through into the graveyard, then continues on. The pool at her apartment building glows turquoise in the dark. She enters her apartment.
Did you forget something?
No, I'm not sleeping at the center tonight.
Everything okay?
It's fine.
Sarah enters her bedroom in her nightgown. She closes and locks the door. Then she gets a chair and puts it under the handle. She sits down on the bed.
My name is Sarah Foster.
A sudden flash of veins and computer monitors. A dark hall. A woman appears at the far end and moves closer. It's Sarah. She turns around and looks into the darkness. She peers through a lit window. She tries a door, but it's locked. An image of her pounding on a door overlays with another of her continuing to search the darkness. Suddenly, a plastic bag is put over her head. She gasps and struggles with the unseen attacker. Sarah sits up in bed. She looks around fearfully. She's in a bedroom, but it isn't the one at her apartment. She gets out of the bed and leaves the room. She enters a wood-paneled study lined with books. She picks up a dress from a chair and examines it. It drops from her fingers as she turns away. She leaves the house and walks down the front steps in her nightgown. She opens the mailbox. There's a letter inside hand addressed to current resident. She puts it back and leaves. She runs down the sidewalk wearing the flowing white gown from the last time she sleepwalked. She reaches an apartment door, but can't open it. She leans over to look in the window and sees Nicole and another woman talking. Sarah backs away from the window. The woman who is not Sarah prepares for bed. Sarah opens a gate and goes down a narrow hall, entering the pool area. She goes through a door beside the pool. It's daytime. An airplane flies over the apartment building. Sarah opens the door and looks out. She stands in an alcove in her nightgown, hugging her shoulders and looking out at the day. Below, her apartment door opens and Nicole and the other woman exit. Sarah watches them leave, then moves toward the apartment as if in a dream. She tries the sliding glass door in front, but can't get it open. She runs back around the side. She tries the door, then gets a brick and throws it through the window. She climbs into her bedroom. The furniture is the same, but there's a photo of someone else on the nightstand. Sarah stares at it, then puts it back and opens the closet. She grabs a bunch of hangers and throws the clothes on the bed. She starts trying them on, but they are all too big. She ties a tight belt around a skirt to make a passable outfit. In the living room, she sorts frantically through the mail. Opening the cabinet, she takes out the pink box with her journal inside. The last page just says Sarah. Her phone rings and she gives it a worried look, putting down the journal.
Don't worry, Sarah. I am always watching you. I feel like you're waiting for me. You know, I came to see you last night. Feeling you, Sarah. Your bones under your skin. Could you feel my fingers moving over you?
Shaking, Sarah drops the phone and runs into the bathroom. She looks through the cabinets and then in Nicole's bedside table. She finds a bottle, grabs some vodka, and goes down into the laundry room. She takes some pills and washes them down with vodka. Then she goes into a closet and shuts the door. Sitting on the floor, she continues to drink the alcohol, looking crazed. Water seeps under the door. Sarah lies curled on her side. She gets up and leaves the closet, passing a man sitting on the washing machine. She returns to the back door of her apartment. The window is no longer broken. Coming around to the front, she finds that her outfit fits better now. Dawn comes out of the apartment.
Hey, did you go back to the place last night?
Yeah, I did. Can you let me in? I forgot my keys.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
to meet Neil for coffee.
Is that your professor?
Duh. I sent him a bunch of pictures. See ya.
Bye.
Sarah enters slowly and looks around. The furniture is still the same. There's a picture of her on the table. Sarah soaks in the bath, looking morose. Later, she bikes down the sunny street, still looking upset. She stops in front of the mysterious house she woke up in and watches it from behind a tree. Then she bikes over a bridge. As she draws near, she becomes framed in a window, then fades from view. The scene out the window changes to Dr. White hammering nails outside.
In the directory. I didn't know where else to go. I probably shouldn't have come.
No, it's fine. Come on. What's going on?
I forgot my last name. Or I remembered it wrong. It didn't used to be Wells, it was Foster.
Foster?
You knew me as Sarah Foster. But if I asked you right now, you'd say that you never heard that name, right? And then I guess I remembered my roommate wrong. I had been living with this girl, Dawn. And then it was this girl, Nicole. But they're different people.
And who's there now?
Dawn. She's back. Went to see Dr. Cooper and she didn't remember me, even though I had just seen her a couple days ago. She had no idea. I was hoping you had some sort of explanation. Maybe you've seen this before.
Dr. White takes out his phone and dials. He takes her by the hand.
Hi, Elaine. Scott White. Hey, listen, I'm talking with Sarah Wells right now, and we think it might be a good idea for her to come and talk to you on Monday. But right now, I just wanted to have her say hello to you. Is that okay? Say hello.
Dr. Cooper? Yeah, I'm feeling okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have her call your office instead of a time. Great. Sure. She remembers you.
She didn't yesterday. I stood right there in her office.
I'm not a psychiatrist. Sarah, you have unusual sleep patterns.
Is that why this is happening?
I don't know. It's possible something in your condition could be altering your perception of what's happening in your life.
Well, what if it's not my perception?
The world doesn't change in that way.
Well, what if it does? I made a mistake coming back to school. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go.
Sorry
I bothered you.
She runs off. Scott looks after her. The sun is setting as Sarah bikes back from Scott's house. She reaches her building in the dark and starts locking her bicycle to a post. Looking up, she sees a man standing a short distance away. He moves toward her. She grabs her bike and takes off. He starts sprinting after her. She pedals hard, but he's close behind.
Sarah!
There's a truck light ahead of her. It fills her view.
You all right?
He was waiting in my apartment. He saw me. He chased me. I don't know. He's been leaving me messages. He wants to hurt me.
You have to go to the police.
No, I don't want to.
You say he came after you.
I want to get
you have to go to the police.
I want to go
Sarah,
home. Please, I don't want to be
come
here
with
anymore.
Me.
Scott leads her into the passenger seat and shuts the door.
In here. It's probably someone you met for a moment, a few minutes.
That's just it. It doesn't feel like he's a stranger. It feels like the man in my dreams.
I think it'll come to you.
Oh.
She skinned her knee.
I got something for that. Let me see.
I'm afraid to go back to sleep. What if things change again?
Nothing's gonna change. If you have another one of these dreams...
They're not dreams. I'm still having bad dreams. I had one last night. But when I woke up in that bedroom and it wasn't my room, I was awake.
Sarah leans on her knees and stares into the fire.
I can't tell you that I understand what's happening to you, but I do know about dreams. We think of them as stories, but really, they're emotions. There's a chemical trigger. When we sleep, the brain releases chemicals, and we experience a rush of emotion. And then the thinking part of our brain tells us a story to explain those feelings.
That house wasn't a dream.
But what if we treat it like it was? Tell me what you were feeling.
I was afraid someone would find me.
Who?
The woman who lived there. I saw her dress on a chair.
And
I wanted to get out. But I also wanted her to know that I was there. I was angry at her. I wanted her to be scared of me. I don't know who she is. I don't want anything to do with her.
I'm gonna have you sleep here tonight. Things might look different in the morning.
A crescent moon hangs over Scott's house.
This will be right across the hall.
Sarah wanders over and looks out a large window. Lightning flashes outside.
There's a storm. I see him coming down from the mountains.
It's beautiful. If my mind is broken, can anything make me better? Why are you helping me?
I don't know why. I will help you. I know that. We're gonna get through to the other side of this. This is all gonna make sense.
Sarah stares up at him expectantly. Eventually, he turns away. She looks disappointed. Lightning flashes across the hills in the distance. Sarah sits in the bed with her back against the headboard and a lamp on. The light fades away as her eyes close. More flashes of diagnostics and veins like lightning. Sarah hangs by her hands and feet, cocooned in a giant spiderweb. The threads cover her face and body. She struggles to get free. Sarah wakes with a start. She reaches over and turns on the lamp. She's wearing the white nightgown again. She goes across the hall. In the bedroom she woke up in last time, she finds a woman sleeping fitfully. The woman starts to wake up.
Go away. Go away. Go away. Get out of here.
Sarah wakes up again, this time in the bed the woman was just in.
Scott?
She turns on the lamp and looks around in a panic. She gets out of the bed and moves through the house, approaching a sliding glass door which she opens. She runs down the front steps as she did last time. Dark clouds shift to reveal the morning sun. It is daylight as Sarah arrives back at Scott's house. In slow motion, she goes around to the side door. She enters a dim room and looks around.
Scott?
The house seems abandoned. Some of the furniture is covered in plastic sheets. The walls are bare. She walks down an upstairs hall. At the end of the hall, she finds her clothes sitting on a chair and grabs them up. She places them on the bed. The hall remains empty. Sarah tries on the clothes in the mirror, but finds the skirt is once again too big and won't stay up around her waist. She returns to the side door of her apartment, looking suspiciously up at the window. There is a piece of cardboard covering the hole she made. She continues on without going in. Sarah returns to the sleep center, walking purposefully through the waiting area.
Oh, hi. Is Dr. White here?
Yeah. Can I say who's here to see him?
Sarah Foster. I'm sorry, Sarah Wells?
The doctor looks blank.
One sec.
He leans into a doorway.
Dr. White, Sarah Wells outside?
Yeah. Did she leave?
No, just right there.
Sarah stands facing away. The doctor points at her. A tall man walks over.
I'm here to see Dr. White.
That's me. How can I help you?
I'm sorry, Scott White?
I'm Scott White. What's your name?
Sarah stares at this new man.
Sarah Wells.
Sarah Wells. That's funny, I guess. Actually, it's not funny, or I don't understand. I know Sarah Wells. You're not her.
Is she a patient here?
I couldn't tell you that.
Then who am I?
You tell me.
Are you married?
I'm sorry, what?
Sarah swallows and shakes her head.
I think I made a mistake.
Wait, do you know Sarah Wells? Can you tell me who you are?
Are you restoring an old house?
Who told you that? Wait, miss, who told you about... Miss, you don't have to go.
She runs off down the stairs, leaving him looking over the railing. In slow motion, she walks through the campus, staring straight into the distance. Then she bursts into her lecture class. Everyone stares at her. She locks eyes with the woman whose bed she woke up in.
Sarah?
The woman looks horrified.
Go away!
Hearing the woman's phantom voice in her head, Sarah runs back out. Two policemen get out of their car, which is parked on the street. Sarah turns a corner and sees them. She stops running and makes an effort to walk normally. In slow motion, the police approach the entrance to her apartment building. Sarah hides in the storage closet by the pool. She sits against a barrel and clutches her knees, putting her face in her arms. Water begins seeping under the door. Sarah opens her eyes. She's lying on her back in a bright room. She's back at the sleep center with electrodes attached to her head. Slowly, she sits up and looks around.
Come in.
It's Scott with coffee.
Good morning.
How do you explain this? How did I get here?
You don't know.
I remember some things that you're gonna say aren't real. The last time I saw you, I went to sleep at your house.
You don't remember coming back. You're sleepwalking again. The police dropped you off at my house sometime after 11. You told them where I lived.
I don't remember.
I brought you back here and so we could get you on the machine.
I've been here all night?
Yeah, we both were.
Are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No.
In my dream, my imagination, whatever it is, you're married. Another you.
I saw this early on. I didn't know what to make of it. It seems as though you are dreaming at night. In fact, this line indicates that you were dreaming straight through the entire night.
Am I dreaming right now?
You left deep sleep and woke up a few minutes ago. What is it that you remember?
I woke up in that house again, and I came here and I met you in the lobby. But it was another you. A man called Scott White, but he worked here. He was treating a patient. She had my name. I think I saw her, but she's not me.
I see.
But that's not true, right? I mean, you're Scott White?
Yes, I am Scott White. And this other world, who recognizes you?
No one.
So the changes all have to do with identity.
There's the man who is leaving me the voicemails. The one who chased me.
In a dream, we call that an anchor element. It connects the waking world to the world of the dream.
I'm not dreaming.
Tell me something. I'm sorry to have to ask. Your husband's suicide. Why did he do it?
I can't remember.
Maybe there wasn't a reason.
No. I went to a psychiatrist for over a year. I wrote in my journals about it. He left a note. I can't remember right now. I'm sorry.
Scott sits quietly on the bed while Sarah tries to remember. A man cleans the pool at the apartment building. Sarah sits on some steps nearby. She's reading her journal again. She looks upset by what she's reading. Nicole walks up with the mail.
Hey. Don't you have class?
I'm not going today.
Sarah doesn't look up. Nicole shrugs and goes inside. Sarah keeps reading. At the library, Sarah stands at a computer terminal. She pulls up a newspaper article titled Noted Author Slain by Fan. Jonathan Alec Gray shot in California. She frowns as she reads that he was murdered at a crowded press conference. There's a photo of a police cordon. Sarah looks off to the side, into space.
Sarah.
Scott jogs up.
Hey.
Thank you for coming.
Are you okay?
I want you to see this on the same screen that I've been looking at.
Is this it? Mm-hmm. Jonathan Alec Gray, award-winning novelist, was murdered November 11th. It says the man who stalked him was
He wasn't murdered. It says that they found some of the man's blood in Jonathan's office, but they never caught him. He got away. But Scott, Jonathan wasn't killed. Was he? But you knew how he died.
I learned it from you.
Dr. Cooper knew. She told me. I don't remember any of that.
This could be the man you saw.
I know. I don't know. What's happening? I was working so hard at this. I was getting better.
Let's talk to Elaine Cooper.
She won't remember me.
This could be your memory coming back.
It didn't happen.
Look, memories have a way of working their way back to the surface of consciousness. It doesn't always make sense.
He wasn't murdered. I remember.
Scott looks at her with concern. Then he reaches up to stroke her hair. The newspaper article remains up on the screen. We pass beneath the apartment stairs under the glare of a light bulb.
Hello?
Sarah opens her front door. She cautiously enters the apartment. The lights are off in her bedroom and the window is not broken. She pushes against it to be sure. She leaves the bedroom and runs a bath. The water comes out in a trickle. She goes back into the bedroom for a change of clothes. A man jumps her from behind. The man who chased her down the street wrestles her over to the sofa and throws her down. He climbs on top of her while she beats at him. The attack is not visible from the front window. Sarah flails at the man's face, but he pins her arms.
Help me.
He grabs a pillow and holds it over her face. She continues to struggle fruitlessly. She grabs something off the floor and smashes it against his head. He rolls away and she manages to run into the bedroom. He throws himself against the door while she frantically dials her phone. The attacker goes into the living room and begins tearing it apart, smashing things and throwing chairs. The scene fades to black. Scott arrives.
Sarah
is outside.
Hey.
He was here. He was inside.
It's okay. He grabbed
me.
It's okay. He tried Nobody's to kill me. Here. Nobody's here. You're safe now.
Okay.
Scott stands up and goes to the front door, which is cracked open. He looks inside, then back at Sarah. Red-eyed and shaking, she comes over. The living room is in perfect condition.
You don't believe me.
Scott shakes his head slightly. Sarah looks back at the perfect room in horror.
You don't believe me. He was right. He was right on the couch.
I know.
Scott puts his hands on her shoulders comfortingly. Across the street, he talks with the two policemen. They nod and leave. Back by the stairs, someone hands Scott a sheet of paper.
Dr. Kozlov, he showed me this. He said you filled it out.
I didn't.
Have you had any dreams like this?
No, I didn't fill it out.
Sarah, I need you to be calm. We need to look at what's happening. These perceptual issues are...
I don't want to stay here.
She can stay with me.
Sarah needs professional help. This isn't something we have a choice about. She has to be taken somewhere safe. Until these episodes are resolved, you need professional help. Scott and I are both bound by the law on this.
This doesn't make sense to me. How can it make sense to you?
You think that I'm lying?
No, you're not. But we need to understand and to help you. We need to check you into the clinic just for a couple of nights. For observation, or just for relief, Sarah.
No.
I'll come with you. I want to help.
I can't be alone, not in a place like that. What if it doesn't help?
Sarah looks from Scott to Dr. Cooper.
It didn't happen. He wasn't there. I imagined it. I won't tell anyone.
I'll go with you to the clinic. You're not going to be on your own.
I'd like to admit a patient. Her name is Sarah Wells.
It's nighttime. Sarah gets out of an ambulance. Scott and another doctor accompany her into a clinic.
Yes, we have a room ready.
Be all alone. What if I want to leave?
For the first 24 hours, you'll be in our care.
Well, what if I need to leave?
You won't be able to.
Sarah stands frozen for a moment. Then she tries to run. The other doctor stops her.
Okay. Hey, guys. Okay. Come on, take it easy.
Okay.
Take it easy.
All right. It'll be all right.
God! Please, God, help me!
Come on. This will be all right.
God, please.
The doctors tow her away by her arms as she writhes and begs Scott to help her. Scott stands by the front desk and doesn't move. Two doctors bend over her in the hall of the clinic as she squirms wildly on the floor to escape them. With effort, they begin to move her down the hall. Scott follows at a distance. The scene fades. Sarah blinks blearily up at Scott from a bed.
You say I have to go home. But I'll be back first thing in the morning. Promise.
Her arms and legs are restrained. Scott shakes his head.
I'm sorry that we have to do this. It is the right thing.
He strokes her cheek gently, then stands to go. He pauses in the doorway and looks back at her lying immobile. Then he turns out the light and closes the door. In the car, he makes a call.
Glenn, I'm coming over.
Sarah sleeps tied to the bed in a white patient's gown. She tries to roll over and sit up, but the restraints don't let her. She collapses back down. The room is empty except for the single metal bed. Dr. Cooper returns to her office and takes off her raincoat. She drapes it over a chair. Scott runs into the hall.
Hey, thanks for meeting me. Sorry to make you leave your house again so late.
It's fine. This really upset you. I can see that. But from what you told me, you're doing the right thing.
I won't lose another patient. I can't. I have to help her.
You are helping her. Did you bring her a file?
I thought it was here.
I don't see why it would be. What's the patient's name again?
What?
The girl, the one you told me about.
Sarah Wells. You don't know her?
No, but have I met her?
Why did you change your clothes?
What?
Did we see each other earlier today?
No.
Scott is back in his truck, driving quickly through the dark streets. He strides into the clinic.
Taking her out.
Who?
Sarah Wells, where is she?
Oh, you can't. No, that's the proper authorization.
What room is she in now?
All right.
The head doctor leads Scott down a hall.
She can't be conscious. She shouldn't be able to open her eyes.
What have you got her on?
A lot.
Scott begins unbuckling the restraints. He gathers the barely conscious Sarah into his arms and carries her out. He puts her into the truck. Her head lolls. The crescent moon hangs over his brick house. He carries Sarah inside.
You're gonna be okay. You just need to go to sleep.
I can't go to sleep.
Listen again. No. Sarah, listen to me. You can't.
No, put that on. No.
Sarah, listen to me. I went to see Elaine Cooper after I left you at the clinic. When I went to see her, she didn't know who you were.
What do you mean? What does that mean? I don't understand.
I can't explain.
I was trying to tell you.
Explain it, but so... I will. I promise. We're gonna make sense of all of this. Yeah.
Okay, keep talking to me so I don't go back to sleep. I can't go back to sleep. Don't make me go back to sleep.
You have to go to sleep.
No.
Yes, you can.
Then I don't. Yes, I can't go back to...
He lays her back. Scott lies down and embraces her. It's morning. Sarah is asleep on Scott's chest. His hand rests on her arm. Sarah's fingers brush his chest as she wakes up. She lifts her head carefully and looks at him sleeping. She props herself up on her elbow and gently touches his beard. He doesn't stir. Carefully, she gets out from under his other arm and out of the bed. She goes out the doors that are still papered over and looks into the yard, lit by the morning sun. Then she sits downstairs with her feet up in a chair, reading a book. Scott comes in and hands her a mug, which she takes in both hands. She smiles up at him. He takes a seat near her.
All morning I've been remembering things. The man who tried to hurt me, his name was Warren Lambert. He was obsessed with my husband's books. He's crazy. They sent him to an institution for it. I know that he wasn't really there.
No. But it could be the way your mind is remembering him.
I know.
Tell me what happened to your husband.
Sarah stands and walks to the window.
It was cold, raining. My husband had gone to a reading to sign books. You have to understand how much people love my husband's work. Women especially. Still, I always knew we were safe. We were us.
A flashback to the memory of her walking in the rain.
I thought I'd surprise him at his office.
In the memory, Sarah walks down a hall with her umbrella and leans into a room.
And then, right in front of me, my mind did somersaults trying to explain it. There must be a mistake. But no. She's there. He admits it. He's sorry. He hates himself. What is that? What am I supposed to do with that?
Past Sarah leaves the building where her husband is having an affair.
He told me it would never happen again. I told her on the phone while I listened. Knew I had to leave, and I did. And after that, everything got dark. All those nights alone. He called, but I never answered. I left him. No. Her. There was something wrong with her in her mind. Of course there was. She went to his office. He told her that it was over. The neighbors heard him, telling her, yelling at her to go, but she had a gun.
In the memory, police roll tape across a door.
She shot him.
They stand over a body bag.
She killed my husband.
The police put the body on a stretcher and into an ambulance. Suddenly, they look up and then rush back into the building. Scott moves to stand behind Sarah at the window. He leans his head down to touch hers. He strokes her hair. The scene fades. It's dark and raining outside. In Scott's house, Sarah prepares a tray of food in the kitchen. She hears something and looks over her shoulder, then goes to investigate. The living room is dark and empty. Sarah looks into the fireplace. A crash makes her straighten up. Another noise from the kitchen causes her to jump back and grab a poker. The stalker appears and throws a plastic bag over her head. He pulls her down on top of him and holds her there as she struggles with the bag. Scott arrives and pulls her away, then begins punching the stalker in the face. He grabs the stalker and throws him against the bookshelf. Police and ambulance lights flash outside. EMTs load the stalker into an ambulance.
That's everything I need. Thanks. Apparently he was locked up for this once before. Ms. Foster?
Sarah takes a moment to react to the name. She takes a card from the officer. She stares at it as they leave.
My name. It's Foster.
She passes the license to Scott. Two empty chairs sit by the fire in Scott's living room. Scott and Sarah kiss passionately in the hall. Sarah wraps her legs around his waist while they make out. He presses her up against the wall. He slides down to her waist. She helps him take his shirt off. He braces his hands on either side of the hall as she starts to unbutton his pants. He picks her up again and they move into the bedroom. Moonlight illuminates their naked forms lying asleep on the bed. The night is clear now, and the city lights glow in the distance. Sarah's eyes flutter open, then slowly focus. She sits up. She's wearing the flowing white gown again. She moves down the hall. Sarah walks down the sidewalk, staring vacantly ahead. She wanders into the street, and a truck narrowly misses her as it speeds past. With slow, even steps, she passes a low brick building with trees and planters outside. She arrives at the sleep center and enters, climbing the stairs to the waiting area. She enters the room where the other Dr. White was treating a patient last time. A woman lies in the bed with electrodes attached to her head. Sarah is suddenly back in the woman's house, approaching her bed.
Who are you? Who are you?
Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Get out of here.
Sarah runs out of the house. She exits into the rain, but starts walking anyway. She continues down the street in the rain, finally reaching a gated entrance. She opens a metal door. She's back in the sleep center. The woman is still in the bed. Sarah stares at her. The woman looks over.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Sarah?
Mom.
Sarah, it's all right.
Look, she's here. It's her. She's there, right there. Don't you see her?
There's no one here.
I'm not asleep.
It's you and me. That's it.
She's here. She's get away. She's right there.
Wait, look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Why can't you see her?
What the hell's going on?
She's right.
There's no one here.
Oh my God.
There's no one there. Look, it's you and me. There's no one here.
Sarah and Scott look in at the other Sarah and Scott.
It's okay. Look at me. Look at me. Do you trust me? You need to lay down. Lay down. It's okay. Lay down. Lay down. It's okay.
I don't understand what's happening.
She's dreaming of me.
What? Why? Think. There has to be a reason. Maybe she's already told us.
Scott starts investigating the clinic office where they are. He presses some buttons and turns on a monitor.
It's always her. Finds me. She comes inside my house. She watches me. She watches me while I'm sleeping. I can't feel safe in my own home. I lock the doors, but she must have the keys. At night, I see her waiting across the street. Just watching and waiting.
Sarah stands motionless, staring at the screen. She flashes back again to the memory of going to her husband's office. She walks through the rain with her tan coat and umbrella. She enters a building. The interior is dim. The silhouette of a man waits in another room.
I knew you'd be here.
Jonathan is hunched against the window, looking down at the street.
Jonathan.
Stop. I told you. You can't come here.
I'm not going anywhere. It's raining. I'll always stay in.
I'm calling the police.
Stop.
He turns with a phone to his ear and she points a gun at him.
Wait. Please. Please. Stop. Please.
The scene shifts to Sarah and Scott in the office.
She's here because she's having nightmares. And he's helping her. You.
What?
The actual you. When he finds a cure, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm her nightmare.
That's not possible. There has to be an explanation.
Sarah screws up her eyes and shakes her head. In the memory, she lowers the gun. She walks forward and looks down at the floor.
I loved Jonathan Gray.
A typewriter sits on the desk. There's a photo of the other Sarah on the table.
But I wasn't his wife. I was the other woman. My name is Anna.
There's a flash of lightning, and she disappears. Scott and Anna lie on the ground. Scott has a hole in his forehead. A clock shows 11:11.
I remember now. The moment I put the gun to my head and everything went dark. The next thing I saw was this. I was in this place, walking towards you. Do you feel how warm it is?
What?
It's November, not summer. I guess I didn't want it to be cold. I wanted to be in this place, to be the love of his life. You said the clues in what I was seeing were about identity. And you were right.
No. Listen. What you're experiencing, both of us, it's something else. It's a fugue state.
It's love. Because he is you. I made you. Maybe so that I could see that I... so that I could find the truth. So that I could see what I had done. But I didn't know that I would find you again. I don't want this to end.
Sarah.
He leans down to kiss her. There's a flash. A bag over her head. An oxygen mask over her face. Scattered scenes from the past few days. Anna gasps in an oxygen mask in a clinic bed. A doctor rushes over to check on her. It's the man she dreamed was a stalker. He's now well-groomed and professional. He adjusts the machine.
Don't worry, Anna.
He strokes her hair. Anna's eyelids flutter. The doctor leaves her bedside. She continues to sleep, her eyes twitching. The oxygen pumps. Water drips out of a vent in the ceiling and lands on her toe. She doesn't wake up. The first scene repeats. Anna walks barefoot down the street in a flowing white nightgown. She stares straight ahead as she walks.
Sarah Foster.
Directed by Elliot Lester. Written by Jack Olson. Produced by Michael Roef and Jennifer Glenn. Produced by Sharon Borders and Hannah Pilmer. Executive Producer, Fernando Su. Executive Producers, Noah C. Hausner, Michael Ramondi, Jack Olson. Anna O'Reilly. Richard Armitage. Isabella Scarucco. Rachel Melvin. With Kevin Zegers. And Haley Joel Osment. Co-producer, Josh Weinstock. Director of Photography, Peter Vermeer. Production designer Richard LaSalle. Editor Nicholas Wayman Harris. Costume designer Bick Owen. Original music by Mark D. Todd. Casting by Michael Testa. An Elliot Lester film. More credits roll on screen.